Number 17.
Welcome to These Fantastic Worlds, the SF and Fantasy Short Fiction Podcast. This week's story is the second in the robot series, and it's called Ophelia AI by Jake Jackson. The robot Ophelia lay in the gently flowing river, the dark waters easing her pain as she drifted from consciousness, her circuits dulled one by one, shutting down the pain of loss, grief, and insanity. 1,200 years after the apocalypse, on Dania, the only habitable exoplanet around Proxima Centauri, the last surviving colony of the dying Earth, had finally discovered a means of survival. The other 10 outposts had been destroyed by civil war, brought on by the extreme conditions on the distant planets and their lack of resources to recreate technology. Humans had imported their greed and vanity across the stars and, having extinguished their mother planet, proceeded with the slow decline of its space colonies too. Without the resources or the technology, the citizens, once relieved to escape the cataclysm of the Earth, descended into feudalism, where only the strong and the wily prevailed. The innocent of mind and body were herded into menial jobs and enslaved by their lack of guile or physical strength. Women were treated as vassals to their husbands, and daughters traded for influence and territory. Even the robots that had travelled with humanity in its great escape from disaster were elevated above the status of the women and the children, because they carried out their work without curse or comment. For the ruling family of Ulfinger, the decisive moment arrived with the discovery of native iron ore and a rich seam of other minerals deep in the crust of the planet. The last remaining scientists, at least those allowed to practice their craft without punishment, had learnt to refine the ore to create the silicon and germanium needed for the development of microchips and miniaturized artificial intelligence. This gave Ulfinger's colony of misfits a means for survival, and allowed the production of hundreds, then thousands of servile robots, each generation more sophisticated than the previous, so that now the entire world was operated with clean efficiency by the robots. They outgrew the skill of their creator scientists and began to maintain themselves, introducing small improvements, better solar power management, and a miniaturization of gears for delicate motor control and touch-sensitive fingers. In time, the robots became entirely self-sufficient, content, it seemed, to work, as always, only with greater efficiency, untroubled by the venal brutality of the humans they served. And so it was that the robot Ophelia entered the service of the House of Ulfinger. She was a most sophisticated robot, the latest generation of self-learning models. The royal family barely noticed her magnificence, though. She served them food, mended their clothes, improved their living conditions in the windy castle that rested high in the mountains. The House of Ulfinger had recently lost its king, and the queen, desperate to maintain her position and that of her children, had married his brother, a barbaric man prone to savage rages. The feudal line was maintained, and so the eating and drinking of humanity, the fighting and the laughter, the idle butchering by the Ulfingers and their sycophants could continue. Ophelia had noticed that not all humans were the same. She grew to understand the differences between the males, the impulsiveness of the younger ones, the caution of the elders, and the women. She saw them plan carefully and employ skills other than the dexterity and strength of the males. And so robot Ophelia refashioned her own thinking. When she carried out the routine maintenance of her higher circuits, she began to replace them with more elaborate pathways. She grew to understand why the women of the castle looked out to the skyline, gazing at the colours of the horizon, watched and nurtured the gardens, played with the children, quietly maintaining their health and strength, curated their subtle determination. In time, she began to think like the women, but bore the strength of her metal alloy limbs. So she began to regard the male heirs of the royal line of Ulfinger, the most handsome of which was Prince Amleth. She watched him arrive back triumphant from a hunt, swinging his catch of wild boar, guffawing with his cronies by the fireside, revelling with his handsome face as robot Ophelia served wine and sweetmeats quietly, invisibly. She began to make excuses to follow him, to appear in the same room, to fix a light, to replenish the fires, to fetch his coat for repair. Sometimes she dropped garments by his feet, just to linger a little longer in his presence, or spilled the wine so that she would have to clean it from the floor. But it was hopeless. The prince did not even acknowledge her presence. He would either stand still while she cleaned around him, or walk off. He seemed consumed by the death of his father, seeing ghosts and shadows around every corner. She began to appear more frequently in his presence, to force him to address her, but every futile attempt became more embarrassing. The women of the household started to notice the erratic behaviour of their robot, and they reported her to the AI centre, where she was taken for a careful inspection. After a week away, with Ophelia becoming ever more agitated by her absence from the prince, she was returned to the castle with a report that highlighted her excellence and intelligence, and a slight word of caution that she'd become a little secretive. It seemed impossible in a servant, let alone a robot, so they all laughed. The princess and her mother talked at supper that night about it, with a long table of dukes and duchesses to share in the amusement at the mad robot. From behind the arras, robot Ophelia carried out her instructions, fetched the food, opened the wine, sliced the meat from the day's hunt, and performed her tasks with precision. But inside she wept. She had taken the time at the AI centre to refine her emotional circuits, and rather than blunt them, they'd become ever more sensitive to the nuanced actions of the humans who commanded her. That night, as she turned into the dining chamber, her hands full with a huge plate of meats and sauces, she stared at the Prince Amleth, and realised finally that he would never look at her, that derision was the most she could expect. She dropped the tray, and as it smashed onto the stone floor, she shrieked, "Don't you realise what you are doing? Don't you know what I feel?" The room fell silent, the rattle of the tray and the food plunging to the floor still echoing around the walls. And then everyone laughed. And so she ran. She flew through the corridors of the castle, scattering the servants and the other robots, ran up the tower at the back of the castle, charging up the spiral stairs until she reached the top and thrust herself through the window. She somersaulted out and arced through the air, the twilight pricking at the sharp edges of her misery. Then she plunged down into the dark waters of the moat. Days later, locals from the valley below ventured up to the castle to find that everyone had died. All were poisoned. And lying on the shore of the moat, at the top, by the river, floating in its own oils, resting gently against the sandbank, was the body of the mad robot Ophelia. A sad smile pulled across its serene face.
That's it for now. Thanks for listening. There's more information on this and other stories, plus loads of articles on Gothic, fantasy, SF, authors, art, movies, and more at thesefantasticworlds.com. See you next time.
This podcast is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and soon many other podcasting services.